Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find Ephesians chapter 4. We will return to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 29 in a moment. It may be helpful if you find this piece of paper entitled Discovering Your Priceless Treasures in Christ by Trying a Little Kindness. Perhaps you remember there was a country singer named Glenn Campbell. And Glenn Campbell, he is very, very famous from Delight, Arkansas. And Glenn Campbell has sold 45 million records, 70 albums created. He's a very famous guy, but from 1969 to 72, he had his own television show. And I remember as a kid watching the Glenn Campbell show, and he had this theme song, and I borrowed the title for my title. It was called Try a Little Kindness. Here are the words, maybe you recall them. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he's sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. That song reminds me of what the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 11. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, the scripture says that it is to your glory to overlook a person's sin. But we all have that opposite attitude. A lot of times I see a person who's making a mistake and I magnify their mistake, I magnify their problem instead of magnifying God's pardon and magnifying God's purpose, which is to use His grace and kindness to draw other people into our family of faith. That's how it really works. Well, the goal of God is for us to do what the scripture is going to say, be people of kindness. There was a story that came from Judson College. You know, Judson College is one of our Baptist schools. It's over in Marion, Alabama, and Dr. Potts was speaking to an all-girls chapel one day. And Dr. Potts spoke from Ephesians 4:32, my passage here, and he talked about the fact that we should be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And he closed that chapel with this prayer. He said, "Oh God, would you give these young ladies kind hearts? Give them loving hearts. Give them sweet hearts." And they all said, "Amen." I think we're all in need of a kind heart, all in need of a loving heart. And I would, therefore, in this cold, cruel world, tell you to join, if you'll make this note, join God's conspiracy of kindness. To borrow another title, Conspiracy of Kindness is the title of a book written by Steve Sogren. And his church in Cincinnati, Ohio, was formed a few years ago. And he decided that the whole basis of their church would be doing evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus with people by bringing them tangible acts of intentional kindness. So this whole group of people would go out and they would do kind things for people in Jesus' name. And they called it the Conspiracy of Kindness. That church has grown from a handful to over 4,000 people coming every Sunday. All because people have had loving, kind, gracious hearts. And they are demonstrating the love of Christ in intentional ways. So today, I thought I would invite you and me to join God's conspiracy of kindness. It's spelled out here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin here in verse 29. First of all, we must acknowledge that in Ephesians, we're learning who we are in Christ. We've learned that we are to put off the old person, take it off, and put on Jesus Christ like you would put on a robe of righteousness. And then here's what it looks like. Here's in practical terms what it looks like. Verse 29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Look at verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Those are inappropriate for true Christ followers. Look at verse 32. "Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, become imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ has loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God that is a fragrant aroma," a fragrant offering. Let's pray. Father, we want to smell good to you. We want to be a fragrant offering because we look like you, we talk like you, we walk like you, Lord. Father, I ask that you get me out of the way and take your transforming truth and apply it to the heart of every receptive receiver. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin here. Let's make an acknowledgement that God wants you to adopt this lifestyle of kindness and participate in his conspiracy of kindness. So let's learn these four features of being a kind Christ follower. Number one, kindness is our response to the grace of God. That's what we learn here. Kindness is simply our response to the grace of God. We are to be kind people because this is God's command. He says it clearly here in verse 32, be kind to one another. The Word of God is filled with all kind of admonitions like this. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, here's God's goal, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that love is patient and kind. You see, kindness is just love in work clothes. Kindness is when you say, I've experienced the love of God and I'm going to share it with other people. Now, not only should we be kind because of God's command, we should be kind because of God's character. You see, God has been so kind to us. Again, refer to your worksheet. God has demonstrated his own love and grace and kindness for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, when you were at your malignant, ugliest, worst, when you were a sinner in rebellion against the love of God, God showed you kindness. And he did it in a tangible way. He did it at the cross. He gave himself for you. So the command of God says I must be kind, and the character of God amplifies this great truth. I give from what I've received. And if I've received God's love, grace, mercy, and kindness, shouldn't I pass it on? Well, of course, that is the goal of God for every life, that we are his agents. We are his emissaries. We take off what is described in verse 29. We take off this unwholesome speech. We take off, in verse 31, bitterness and anger and clamor and slander and malice, all of these ugly eggs that are born in hell and try to take root and bear fruit in our life. We put those away. And we replace them with the Christ-like fruit of these virtues of kindness and love and forgiveness. That's what Jesus calls us to do. We emulate his character. And then when we do, good things happen. So this really fun email that person sent my way, let me share it with you. It's about a little boy who was starting first grade named Timmy. And Timmy's mother was a little nervous because Timmy insisted on walking from their house to the school all by himself. Well, his mother had another plan, and she happened to have a neighbor that was going to spy on Timmy. Let me read the story. Well, his mother wanted to keep an eye on him as he walked to school, but she didn't want to embarrass him. So she asked her neighbor, a lady named Mrs. Shirley Goodnest, if she would mind walking behind Timmy and keeping an eye on him. So Shirley was happy to do it because every morning, anyway, she would load up her little girl named Marcy, who was a toddler, put her in the stroller and go out for some exercise. For several mornings, Miss Goodness was seen pushing her stroller behind Timmy and his friends. After several mornings, one of his friends said, "Timmy, do you know that you are being followed every day by this lady and her child?" Timmy said, "Sure, that's our neighbor, that's Miss Goodness. Her name is Shirley, and that's her little daughter, Marcy, in the stroller." His friend says, "Well, doesn't it bother you that she's following you?" Timmy said, "No, not really. It's actually in the Bible, because every night my mom reads Psalm 23 to me. And there it says, Shirley Goodness and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I might as well just get used to it." Timmy had a good point there, friends. You know, when you are walking with the Lord, surely His goodness, His mercy, His kindness, His living love, it will follow you and flow out of you. That's what God wants. So He commands us to emulate kindness, the kindness that He shared with us, which is a reflection of His character. Well, let's go to number two. Direct your kindness toward strangers. Direct your kindness toward strangers. This is so important. You see, we generally have a proclivity, a bent, toward being kind to our friends and our family members. We generally are kind to people who are kind to us. It's called the law of reciprocity. Soon we have Christmas coming up, and you have this sense of, oh my goodness, let's make the list, and who's going to give me a gift? I need to give them a gift back. It's the law of reciprocity, not generosity. We're just trying to repay people who've been good to us. Mary Ruth will generally stash aside in our living room area some gifts, because a lot of times neighbors will come by and they'll give a gift, and so you want to be caught giftless? Of course not. So what do? You reciprocate. That's just how we're wired. But God is talking here about something totally different, not the law of reciprocity, but authentic generosity. And let me show you what it looks like. You see, the scripture says that we are to be kind to strangers, and I'll verify that in Luke chapter 10. Do you remember Jesus told this amazing story in response to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus told a story about a man who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead on the Jericho Road. And a couple of religious people walked by him. They were afraid to get entangled in this apparent mess. But there was a Samaritan, this man who was hated by many of the Jews, and he comes by, and Jesus elevates him to be the hero of the story, because he does what? He shows kindness to a stranger. He doesn't know this man from anybody. He is risking himself. He is expending his resources for somebody who can't do anything for him. You see, it's a picture, really, of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Jesus is the real Good Samaritan. And the Bible calls us to be like Jesus and to give help to strangers. The scripture says here, and please refer to the worksheet, Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. Here's the call of Jesus. He says, "If all you do is love those who love you, do you expect a bonus?" Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. We engage in the law of reciprocity. But before he tells us this great truth, he gives us another example. For instance, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is describing how we are to live. And he says, if somebody comes to you and they commandeer your time and your resource and they make you carry their pack a mile. And see, the Romans could do that. The Romans could conscript a Jewish man instantly. No matter what you're doing, he could say, you must carry my pack for 1 mile. And do you remember what Jesus said to do when you're interrupted? What did Jesus say do? Spit on him and refuse? No. He said, carry it not 1 but 2 miles. Well, what's the point? The point is, surprise him with kindness. You see, you will flabbergast that soldier who has conscripted your time, and he thinks that he is fomenting hate in your heart, but if you carry it another mile because of the love and grace of God, then you are essentially going to capture his curiosity, and you can transform that into an opportunity. to tell him about what motivates you. That's the love of the Lord. This is the conspiracy of kindness. It's a little bit like that movie, Pay It Forward. Did you see that movie, Pay It Forward? And the whole premise of the movie is that you do a kindness for somebody who you don't even know, so they multiply it and pass it forward. That is very biblical. That is the concept of the conspiracy of kindness, where we minister to strangers as we would treat Jesus. We treat strangers. Well, let's go to number three. And number three is perform your kindness in Jesus' name. This is everything, friends. Perform your kindness in Jesus' name, because if you do not, you steal God's glory. And you don't want to do that. Do you remember there was a movement called Random Acts of Kindness? You've heard of that, where people would just do random acts of kindness. Well, that's a good concept, but let me go one better. For a Christ follower, it should be an intentional act of kindness, not a random act. You see, if you just do a random act of kindness, then after that kindness, somebody's going to pat you on the back. Somebody is going to applaud your altruism and your goodness. Is that what you're looking for? Are you looking for the world's applause? No, you see, if the love of Christ and the kindness of God, His mercy and grace has been given to you, you pass it on. So that's why you give it in Jesus' name, to bring glory to Him. Again, look at your worksheet. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds." Why? To pat you on the back? No, to praise your Father who is in heaven. So you do a great kindness, an intentional act of kindness. Why? So that you can glorify God. Let me also amplify that truth by using Mark 9, verse 41. Look at Mark 9, verse 41. Jesus said, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name will not lose their reward." That is such an instructive and inspirational verse. We are to go around giving that cup of cold water. He didn't say create a foundation. He didn't say cut off your right arm or give somebody a quart of blood. Just a cup of water. A simple, ordinary task can be transformed into an extraordinary witness if it's done in the name of Jesus. We give a cup of cold water, this simple gift of love in Jesus' name. A child could do that. It doesn't take some super wealthy, some super intelligent person. Just a little child can give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and create a witness for the living God. That's what He wants us to do. You see, when you do something kind, I do a lot of kindnesses for people, but I don't want to steal His glory, so I'll attach it to a witness, to a gospel brochure that says, "Friend, oh, God has been so kind to me, so I want to pass it on to you. I do this for you in the name of Jesus." And so that's why we perform these acts of kindnesses to a stranger in the name of Jesus Christ, because He is our motive. Well, a last observation here. Number four, kindness is planting seeds of the gospel. Kindness is planting seeds of the gospel. The scripture tells us with crystal clarity that the goal of God is evangelism. The word evangelism means sharing the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's the King of Kings, that He invites us to be in His family now and forever. The good news is we can miss a real hell and we can be part of heaven forever when we embrace Jesus. That's good news. In a world of death, dying, and brokenness, that is great good news. So we got to share it. Well, how do we share it? Well, we plant the seeds of kindness all around. This man who wrote the book, Conspiracy of Kindness, Steve Sogren, he puts it like this. For many Christians, doing evangelism is a lot like going to the dentist. You don't really enjoy it, but every now and then you got to go. And he goes on to say, people don't always remember what they are told of God's love, but they will never forget what they experience of God's love. So we're part of a team that will plant seeds of the gospel through the conspiracy of kindness. The scripture tells us, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 and 6, that we are part of a team. It takes a team to bring people to Christ. Paul said it like this, "After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted a seed, But Apollos watered it, and God gave the growth. You see, you can move from silence to sharing as you intentionally engage in the conspiracy of kindness. And let me show you how. I want to give you a real practical lesson in how to be an evangelist. This is just not Billy Graham's territory. This is your assignment. If you follow Christ and you've received his kindness, then you should share it. Let me give you some examples. For instance, we all have neighbors. What if you did your neighbor some kindness and explain that you did it in Jesus' name? For instance, I've gone over to a neighbor's house and raked up pine straw and leaves before. And we would just say, we're doing this in Jesus' name. They'll never forget that. That touches people. What if you did this? What if you go and get a whole roll of quarters and just some afternoon or some evening for total fun, go to the laundromat and walk up to people who are in the laundromat. They're just generally killing time and they've got a little time on their hands, and say, hey, I've got some quarters here. Do you need some quarters for the dryer? I'd like to give these to you because the Lord's been so kind to me. And by the way, this little booklet is really meaningful. It's a gospel booklet that tells about the love of the Lord. He's given so much to me, so it's an honor for me to give to you. I guarantee you that person will never forget that because it's never happened to them before. Hey, what about this? You're standing in line at a fast food place, and you see the person right in front of you, and they are about to get their order paid for. And what if you step up and say, I know you don't need this help, but if it's okay, I would like to buy you this meal because the Lord's been so kind to me and he's been good to me, so I'm just passing on some of his goodness. If that's okay, I'd like to cover the cost of your meal. Boy, have you ever done that? I've done that many, many times. And I'm telling you, people's eyes get big and they're astounded. You see, you don't always remember what people tell you, but you do remember what you experience. See, in that moment, they experience the love of Christ. I have this, I love to go to Walmart about 9:30 at night. And I'm telling you, it's a great crowd in there at 9:30 at night. It's just me and some interesting people. And so I'm standing there and I'll pick a line out. I don't like that automatic checkout stuff. I like a real person. I like real people. And so I'll look at the person in front of me and I'll kind of gauge which line to get in. One night I was there and there was this really cute family, and this lady was buying a sewing machine, and she was buying some things for the kids, and I could just tell they were kind of counting through kind of wadded up $5 and $10 bills, and the Lord's Spirit just spoke to me and said, why don't you just engage in a little kindness here? And so I had a few items, and I just said to the lady at the checkout, hey, I'll cover that. And these people looked back at me like I had just given them a lunar rock. I mean, they just like couldn't believe it. Like I'd given them a diamond or something. And so for just a few bucks, I can guarantee you they will never forget that moment. But I attached the name of Jesus to it. I said, hey, let me give you this. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus has done so much for me. I just can't do enough to say thank you to him back. And this is an expression of his love and kindness that's flowing through me to you. I'm telling you, this lady just teared up and she hugged me. But you can make that difference in just a moment by being God's purveyor of kindness. Well, here's your final assignment. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you going to join the conspiracy of kindness with me? I think God wants us to. As a matter of fact, here's your summary. Move from your seats to the streets and give them kindness, all right? That's the goal of God. Move from your seats to the streets and give them God's grace and kindness. A closing story. There was a man named Henry Morehouse. And Henry Morehouse was this powerful preacher of God who was part of the Great Welsh Revival. He was preaching all over Wales in 1902, and he records this experience from the Great Welsh Revival. He was in a small mining town. He'd been preaching for about a week, and all these people had come to Christ. God was breaking out. It was a spiritual awakening moment. And something really strange happened. It came to Henry Morehouse. There was a man in town. He was known as the meanest man in town. His name was Ike Miller. He was a Welsh miner. And it was reported that Ike Miller was talking and bragging in a drunken stupor to his friends at the pub that he had heard about this preacher, Henry, who was in town, changing everything. That made him mad and upset. He said, if that man preaches tomorrow night, I'm going to show up at that church and I'm going to whip him. If he has the guts to preach, I'll show up and whip him and run him out of our town. Well, of course, that word quickly got back to the church folks. It quickly got back to Henry Morehouse. So the fellows who were in charge of the revival said, you know, this has been a great meeting. We've had a lot of people saved. We don't want it to end on a sour note. Why don't we just call it a ball game and Henry, you go to the next town. Henry said, I'll either preach tomorrow night in your church or on the street, but I will not be silenced by this man, Ike Miller. So you can be assured that night everybody came to the service. They wanted to see what was going to happen. I mean, it was filled to the rafters. And Henry gets up and he starts to preach, and who would walk down the aisle but Ike Miller? He didn't walk down the aisle. He swaggered down the aisle. He strutted down the aisle, and in his hand he had a bullwhip. And he walked down and he sat on the front row as if to say, you do your business and then afterwards I'll do mine. Well, Henry preached that night on John 3:16. Henry preached on the love of Christ, on the grace of God, on the kindness of believers. And when the sermon was completed, people stood up and Ike Miller made a step forward and then he retreated right up the aisle. He walked out the door. He walked past the pub. His friend says, hey, did you whip him? Ike, did you whip him? Come on in here. Let's drink a toast to you. And he was deaf to them. He walked on by. He walked to the edge of town. He came through a broken fence to a dilapidated house. And he walked in. And there was his wife. She generally cowered in fear because he came home drunk most nights. And just like a mother hen, she pressed her children behind her skirts into the corner. And Ike said, honey, you don't have to be afraid of me. Because tonight, God has given you a new husband. And he said, I gave my life to Jesus. And according to his own testimony, he got on his knees. And for the first time, he prayed with his wife and children. And that man became one of the most faithful followers of Jesus Christ in that region of Wales. People asked Henry Morehouse, they said, that night, why didn't you preach on the wrath of God? Why didn't you preach on hell and judgment? He said, of course I wouldn't do that because it is the love and grace of God that will break the hardest heart. Let's be part of the conspiracy of kindness. Let's pray. Father, we live in a cold, cruel world. There are so many people who are hurt and wounded and broken, and they're mean because of their brokenness. I pray that you would coach us even now to engage in your conspiracy of kindness. Teach us to give that cup of cold water in your name. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.